righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Please be seated.
I'm so glad that Christmas is still on. I love Christmas. I love all the beautiful things that it provides, as well as our focus on the Christ child. And I'm still listening to classical Christmas music every day. The first thing I do is I give a kiss to my wife through a little message. Then I put on my classical Christmas music, and I just walk down to the hallway, and that Christmas music and all the classical Christmas music has really kind of starts the day for me. And I want you to know that I had a handful of gifts from you all, and I just want you to know you will receive a thank you card eventually. And but I want to share with you one gift that I got that relates to today's sermon. And it's right here, and it is honey. It is actually, it's Bill's Bees, Brewers, and he every year he's given me a pint or whatever this for honey. I used mine up like just a couple weeks ago, and here you go. I got a fresh Alaska Bees honey. Now, what is neat is his label. His label says, raw honey, thy word is sweeter than honey, Psalm 119, 103. And as you could see, that is a part of our text. And honey is a powerful sweetener. Now, we have been used to refined sugar. We have sugar cookies, we have cake, we have pies. There's so many things that we have, that we eat, that have sugar in it. Well, you need to know that that was not a common thing back 2,000 years ago. Refined sugar was nothing common in that area. But in fact, anything sweet was very hard to get. In the arid places like Israel, they didn't have sugar cane. So what was their sweetness? Now, this is kind of weird. What it was sweetness was the fat that comes from meat, because there's a sweetness there, but also finding honey. But finding honey, you know, took a hard search for it. In fact, there's sacrifice to it, and at the same time, there's danger to it. So, but they loved honey. It is so amazingly sweet. Now, you can imagine, for some of you, maybe honey is not something you take every day, but it is. It is. It is sweet. It is so good. I can see why people wanted to get this, because it did add to life. Now, maybe we can't relate to sugar or honey so much, but there is one thing, because I'm not a refined sugar eater. I'm not crazy about it. But there is one type of dessert that I literally have to make sure it's not in the house. Because if it's in the house, within a couple days, it is gone. And it has only been around for about 150 years, but some of us here truly crave it. And just imagine, instead of honey being so amazing, ice cream is amazing. I don't know about you, but ice cream is my go-to dessert. And there's something about putting a cold spoon of ice cream in your mouth. It does something to you. It's something that I crave, something I want so badly. And thank God I don't have it in my refrigerator or my freezer, because I would not have the strength to stay away from that. But the whole idea of this morning is to understand that God's word is amazing. It is sweet. It is the very thing back 2,000-3,000 years ago, as people were searching for honey because they wanted it so badly, and they would do everything and anything to get it because it had such a sweetness to it. It was a part of a special gift, something that they craved for. Now, honey is amazing in its qualities. In fact, Mayo Clinic makes it very clear, and they're pretty reputable people, there are antioxidants. Study shows that the honey might offer antidepressant, anti-convalescent, and anti-anxiety benefits. There's some good stuff in it. In some studies, honeys have been shown to help prevent memory disorders, wound care. Topical use of medical-grade honey has been shown to promote wound healing, particularly in burns. So not only is it sweet, it is delightful to the taste, but also it has some good qualities to it. In the same way, honey is represented here in a way that says not only is it sweet, but it's also good for you. There's something about it that's very, very good. I don't know if you know this, But they have found honey about 1,000 years ago, and they actually tasted the honey, and it still tasted, it still had those qualities back 1,000 years ago. Honey is, well, is a preservative. It preserved for a very, very long time. Again, I hope you're seeing the correlation between honey and God's Word. Sweet, wonderful, it adds something to your life, and it lasts for a long time. Well, we are in a process of learning how to study the Bible. Now, some of us here, you know, are struggling with even the concept of even opening a Bible and reading it. There's some fear to that, you know, but at the same time, we're going to try to help as leaders is to let you look at the Bible and say, this thing is worthy of study, worthy of study. And unless we put value to it, we're not going to study it. We're not going to open it. We're not going to look at it. So one of our goals is to provide great value to this, allowing you to see that this is worth the time to study. And we're going to be looking at that for the next couple weeks. So how to study the Bible. And what we're going to do is we're going to, first of all, develop the uniqueness and the valuableness of God's Word, as well as some know-hows to how to get in God's Word, where you will feel comfortable, where you feel like you have some kind of confidence so that you can go ahead and study God's Word. So this morning, again, we hear this beautiful text. If you can imagine being back 3,000 years ago, because this is where it's been about, right around David's time, how sweet are your words to my taste? How sweet, how sweet. And the only thing that they can relate it to is sweeter than honey to my mouth. That is intense sweetness. That is amazing sweet. It is something we desire. It is something that does something to our facilities. Therefore, your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. As God's honey, as God's words come into our life, suddenly we have an understanding of God's truth, and also we see the understand. We have an understanding how false ways can manipulate us and destroy us. God's Word, God's truth brings light to that, and we go, wow. And suddenly we know the difference between truth and falseness, and we realize, I don't want falseness. I hate it because truth, God's words, gives me life. It gives me strength. So we go to another text, and this is a unique Greek word because the only time you'll see this Greek word is right here. But there's also another place where this little phrase comes out. This other phrase comes back in Genesis. So you have 1 Timothy, this word, and in Genesis it is brought out. There is a correlation there, and I want you to come ahead, work with me on this, and let me bring this out. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It's God-breathed. It's inspired and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good word. This Greek word, God breathe, God breathing his spirit, God breathing himself into his words. And we see this also, guess where? Back in Genesis. Genesis says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Very important here, and I hope I don't offend some of you people here, the only creature that God breathes into is humans. Not animals, but humans. There is a reason for that. He's breathing his spirit. Because of that, we have this very unique opportunity and responsibility, and that is to know God. God gives us these faculties that when he breathed in his spirit, we have this ability to connect with God, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see in the garden. The garden is this time which humanity, humans, Adam and Eve, were able to do what? Connect with God. We're able to hear God. We're able to know God in a very wonderful, without any sin type of way. He breathed into us the spirit that allowed us to hear God, to know God. That happened way back here in Genesis. Well, we lost that. Well, we happened when we were kicked out of the garden, we lost that capacity, that ability to hear. How many times in our life have we sat back and said to God, please, let me just hear your audible voice. Has anybody heard, and some, I'm pretty sure some people have heard God's audible voice. Have you ever heard God's audible voice speaking to you? Yeah. It happens once in a great while. But the great thing back in those days, it happened all the time. He gave us the facilities to be able to listen and to be able to know and be able to perceive the realness of God in our presence. That was lost because of the sin. Now, what's crazy, we go back way over here. Now, it's two, you know, whatever years, we have an opportunity where God says now, and he makes it very clear to us that he has breathed himself again back into his words. His words now take on life. They take on a way for us to hear. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. Because you have to have God's Spirit in you to be able to hear his voice. Without his Spirit, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, then we can't hear God's voice. It's a part of God's economy in our lives. So let's go here. And this is just a simple theme, and we're almost done here. God's voice tells us sweet words of life. Okay? God's voice tells us sweet words of life, and we need the Holy Spirit to hear. Very important. I'll divide that in two different places. God's voice tells us sweet words of life. Now, you need to know that God's voice, and I love his voice, and they are sweet words of life. But there's another person in my life that has amazing sweet words. And every day I look forward to calling her up or getting her phone call. And I would talk to her 3-4 times a day. I would pray with her. And those words, the sweetness of her voice, speaks to my soul. And I have a couple things that I want to share with you. Here is, she always likes to give me little notes, okay? And I want you to know that this is what she said, and you can actually read it afterwards. This is a note that I bring out once in a while. I love you, you gorgeous hunk of a husband. But those are my words to me. Those sweet words of life. I look forward to Cynthia's voice every day. We affirm our love to each other. We affirm our active role to each other. We talk about things. We laugh and we giggle. I mean, all those things add to my marriage in a way, to my soul in a way that God intended. Those are sweet words, but I want you to know they fall short in comparison to the sweet words of God. And God does the same thing. God always, always wanted a personal relation with us. His reason, God's reason for creating us and breathing his Holy Spirit into us is so that we can have a relationship with God in heaven. He truly, truly loves it when we talk with him, when we commune with him. It's his desire for us to be in that relationship and then for us to hear his words. Those words give us life. Those words affirm us. Those words tell of us his love in our lives. Those are so important because we look for that. That is the reason why God made us to have this relationship. And the beautiful thing, God says, that I've taken these words, and I placed them on paper. And when you, with the Holy Spirit, read these words, this is not just a history Bible. This is not a go-to manual. This is not a great moral story. It is God speaking to us. Just the way that he wanted us to hear in the garden, he wants us to hear right now. When we read God's word, when you hear God's word explaining, God wants us to hear his sweet voice. This is what it is. I'm not up here preaching because I want to give a good, presentation or good word. I'm here so that God can speak through me. I can explain his word so that you can hear God's voice to you and you can hear those sweet words. That's why I'm here. And I have to be very careful about how I present myself right here because I cannot misuse God's name and his words. But for some beautiful, amazing reason, he uses preachers and this pulpit to bring out his word so that you can hear. It bears witness with your spirit, and it adds to the story and adds to all the words that God has given you. Those are his sweet words of life that he keeps putting in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. Yeah, this is not just, like I said, this is an important part of God giving to us his word. So we need to understand, and if we don't see this being valuable, we don't see this being inspired by God's word. See, the crazy thing is, if I took this book and start ripping pages out of it, some of you are going to be very upset over it. It's just a book with pages and words. It doesn't mean anything unless you truly believe that the words that are written in this Bible are God's word. He inspires that, and he gives us the Holy Spirit to hear his voice. So when we're reading and we're studying, we're listening to God's voice. Yeah, you're going to learn about history. We're going to learn about great moral concepts. We're going to learn about philosophy and how to do this and how to do that. What God wants us to do is hear his sweet words, his voice. And unless we put value to this, unless we believe that this Bible is inspired and these words inspired, then we're going to take no effort to study this. Now, the crazy thing is, all of us here, if there's something we really like, we're going to study. Man, we're going to study hard. If you love music, guess what you're going to do? You're going to put time and effort and sacrifice and money into what? Learning music. Learning whatever you can to get the best from music, from sports, from education, from a hobby. You will spend the time. You will spend the time to study that because you feel that it's valuable to you and you want every part of that. I love golf. I really love golf. As a matter of fact, if you would have seen me out here yesterday, I'm out here with my golf club making sure I got all my moves down, okay? And every time I get an opportunity to see an article about golf and see if I could do something with my swing just a little bit or think strategy a little bit, I am always studying how I can be a better golfer. But it's fun because I love it. It's something about who I am. In the same way, once we understand the valuableness of God's word, and it is sweet, it is amazing, beneficial to us, then we're going to study it. All we need to know about relationships. You know, we have a parenting class. That's awesome. But guess what? All that information, anything we need to know about parents, right here. Anything we know about being a spouse, right here. Anything we need to be about a father or a mother or a son or brother, all that's right here. Anything you need to know about how to become a better employer or better employee, it's all right here. Everything we need to know about relationships is right here. Everything we need to know about purpose in life. What is our purpose? That is the biggest question that all philosophers and academic studies are looking for. What is our purpose? It's all right here. Everything is right here. Everything we need to know about purpose, everything we need to know about love, about relationships, having successful marriages, vocation. If you want to know about your vocation, it's right here. Your calling. You need to know that every place you are, any place you're at right now, your calling, whatever workplace, whatever school place, God has placed you there, that is your vocation. He called you to be there. And sometimes we confuse that. But where we find vocation, where we find what college I go to, what? You can find what college I can go to? Yes, you can find what college you can go to right here. You can. If you ever want to know how, just sit down with me and talk to me, and I'll let you know. But right here will tell you what kind of college you need to go to and what you're looking for. It's all right here. All right here. Everything we need to know about life, about love, about hope, about faith, this is valuable. So, and we need the Holy Spirit to hear. Now, I want to show you something. I got a battery right here. And it's unique. I mean, if I give a good chuck, I can probably hit Paul from here. No, I won't do that. I could use it as a nice little decorative place, you know, put it right here on my little office table and, you know, look kind of sharp, isn't it? kind of rep. No, it doesn't. Okay. Thank you, David Brianna. Or I could use it as, you know, store stop. You know, I could do a lot of things, but there is a purpose for this battery. There is power in this battery. And what a battery this does is this. Let me show you. When you hook it up, when you understand its purpose and understand the power that you have in it, it becomes a... I show you that because we need to understand that there is a power in us. And that power is the Holy Spirit, dunamis. That power is us. And if we don't understand our potential and our capacity, then we're going to be just a battery sitting around not connected. God never intended for us not to be connected. There is a reason why he filled us with the Holy Spirit to empower us. And we need to understand that the power is amazing. And it's the very power that helps us to do a lot of things. The power to what? To do ministry. We need to understand that when we're led into ministry, that it has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When it comes to hearing and knowing and reading God, we need the Holy Spirit. We cannot understand or read the Bible without the Holy Spirit. Now, I have these glasses. And again, I'm showing these illustrations because I have a simple mind, and I need these little props to help me in my life. So I don't know if you know this, but I actually am very, I can't read this without glasses. The only reason I'm able to read this without glasses, because I have a contact in my left eye that allows me to see close up, because I don't like to do this all the time. So, but what happens is without the Holy Spirit, we could be looking at Scripture. We could sit there and try to figure this out, but we just can't understand it. We just can't seem to read it. We just can't seem to hear God's word. We need the Holy Spirit for us to be able to do that. Now, the question here is when you pick up the Bible and you start to read it, do you hear God's voice? Do you? When you read Scripture Sunday morning, while you're here, do you hear God's voice? When you hear, not pastor, but God's Holy Spirit explaining his word, do you hear his voice? Not my voice, but his voice. Do you hear his voice? If you're not hearing his voice, if you pick up the Bible and say, I just can't really make sense of it, or I really don't have any desire to read the Bible, it's just not that valuable to me. Well, I'm going to throw something out there to you, because I know that it happened to me before I became a Christian. I didn't become a Christian until my 21st birthday, and for a couple of years, people were trying to show me the words of life and trying to get me to hear God's word, and I could not hear it. I went to a couple of sermons. I listened, and I'm going, all right. They would tell me about the gospel. All right, you know, it's a nice story. They're talking about Jesus. Okay, nice guy. And I just couldn't understand it. I couldn't hear God through that. It's because I did not have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us when we give our life to God. So the question to us, all of us, are you hearing God's voice this morning? When you look at the Bible, when you read the Bible, when you hear God's word, is it speaking God to you? If it's not, there's a problem. God never intended for us not to hear his voice. He never intended for us not to hear his voice. God has given us the Holy Spirit when we give our lives to Christ so that we can hear the voice of God. My question to you or anybody here, have you been hearing God's voice, or are you having a difficult time hearing God's voice, or there's just something there that's so foreign you just can't do it? I just want you to know that you have an opportunity this morning, right now, and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to see your word as being valuable. I want to be able to experience your word in a way that brings sweetness to my mouth. I want that ability. I want that craving. I want that You designed me and created me to hear your voice. Help me, God, to hear your voice. I want to give my life to you. You chose me to be your son and daughter. Help me, God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can hear your sweet words of life in my life. If you're not hearing, please cry out to our Father in heaven. He will give you the ability to hear his voice, because that very voice will sustain you. That very voice will help you and guide you, will give you hope and love and purpose. It is the sweetest voice you'll ever hear in your life. Amen. So studying God's Word, you go, well, studying God's Word is, I treasure this, I value this, so I'm going to read this, and we're going to show you how to read this. You're going to read it, and you're going to start listening for his voice. And you sit there, and you go, wow, okay, God, you're speaking to me. Now, the thing is, as you read more and more, you're bringing God's Word into your life, and you're putting that to your memory. God has given these wonderful opportunities to memorize things and to know things, and this becomes a part of our framework of perceptions, and it helps us to think God. And so we study, we put God's Word in, and guess what happens? As God's Word is in you, and as you study in, suddenly you're finding yourself walking through the day hearing whose voice? God's voice. You'll hear that small, still voice that we have wanted so bad. And you hear as you walk because you know God's voice. You've been knowing him. You know what he's thinking. You know how he sees things. You have a better perspective of life. And suddenly you have this amazing, beautiful relationship where you're walking and talking with God because God's word's in us, and those words come together in a way that brings us life. So, I'm just going to end with that. We're going to be in a process of learning how to study the Bible. It's exciting. If you have a desire for his voice and his words, it's exciting. If it's not exciting, then I want you to go ahead and get on your knees and pray, God, why is this not exciting to me? Why is this not kind of compelling me to really want to hear you? If not, please get on your knees and say, God, I want that desire. I want that sweetness. And get ready. All of us here that have studied God's Word, we know how amazing this is. It never, never grows old. Every day, I look forward to hearing Cynthia. I've been married here, just had my anniversary not too long ago. I've been married to her for, God, I hope this is right, 36 years. But every day I look forward to hearing her voice. I can't wait for her to call. I can't wait to have me call her and pray together and just talk. There's times we just put the phone right there and for an hour, hour and a half, we're just doing our things. We're just talking. I can't wait. I love those sweet words. Those are nothing compared to God's sweet words that come from the inspired Word of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you again for reminding us it is your word, not my word, but your word. And God, your desire for us is to hear your sweet words, to hear the very life you want us to hear and be a part of this intimate, loving relationship with you. I pray there's anybody here that doesn't have that ability to hear your voice, I pray, God, that they'll make that commitment today to turn to you, to receive your Spirit in their lives, and become that child of God that you want them to be, and have this amazing desire to know you, to know you. So I pray for any person here that has never made that commitment, that they would make that commitment now, right now, in this new year. And I pray, God, that you would just give us the fire, all of us Christians, to continue to know your word, to hear you, to spend time with you. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.